Welcome to Walking in His Word, everybody. Coming at you from Cornerstone Church in Highland, Michigan.
It's a thankful, thrifty Thursday.
Praise the Lord.
Come on, somebody.
I love a good deal.
Love a good deal. Let's go, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Walking in His Word. I just thought we'd just change it up a little. Let's just intro the day a little bit different today, you know?
I'm down. When I was in college, one of my favorite professors, actually, I think it was my favorite professor at the time. I don't think he's teaching there anymore, but he kind of like stopped his lesson about like, we were studying one of the books of John in the Bible.
Okay.
And like, he stopped and he started to like dive into like this personal story.
Okay.
And I mean, it went along with what we were studying. And I don't know if he felt compelled to in the moment or if he had planned it in his lesson plan, but like, this rarely happens at college where like a professor is like in the middle of explaining like the Greek meanings of all these words from one of the John's books.
Yeah.
And starts to dive into a personal story. But in his previous career, this professor was a pastor at a church.
Okay.
Very large church. And he said that they had this like guest choir at the church and they were like singing a song, like a special music, like somewhere in the middle of the service. You know, so the church is like sitting down and the choir starts and it's just like rocking, he said. And it's getting everybody stirred up. And so kind of the whole church starts standing.
Yeah.
So he realizes, well, I'm on the front row. I'm a pastor. I better stand.
Right.
And he stands and God says, why don't you go to the back and sit down? Your heart's not in it.
Wow.
And he was like looking around. He's like, I can't do that. I'm one of the pastors. I'm supposed to be an example. And God's like, it means nothing. Your worship means nothing to me right now. Your heart's not in it. You don't love it. So he felt so convicted while everybody is standing. He walked to the back and sat down.
Wow.
Because he just felt so convicted. Because he wasn't in love with with God.
Like, wow. Come on.
Well, and Pastor Tim's preached a message called What's Love Got to Do With It?
Yeah.
Everything.
It's got everything
to do with it. If it's not bathed in love, the scriptures say, Paul tells us.
Yeah.
It's just a clanging, terrible sounding cymbal.
Yeah.
Ugh. Let's go to the message.
Let's do it.
Boy, that's strong words, isn't it? Three steps. Remember from where you have fallen. You know, there are certain things we're not supposed to remember. We're not supposed to remember our past failures. They've been forgiven. What sin are you talking about? I remember your sins and iniquities no more. We're not supposed to always be bringing those things up to the Lord. They're forgiven. Let's move forward. But you already remember the great things that God has done. Not that you can remain in the past and live in the past and wish you were still back there, but you remember what God has done, the great things He has done, as an encouragement to believe God today and to do a brand new work. What He did in the past, He can do it again. And I remember when the Lord delivered me or provided for me or healed me, or I remember when He delivered me. I remember when He answered that prayer. I remember that so that I might encourage myself today that He might do the same thing today, right? So you already remember that. And now Jesus says, remember from where you have fallen. He wants them to stir up their memory to a time when they had that first love. That initial love, that passionate love, that like when we were eager to please Him, where we are willing to follow Him even through times of difficulty, where, man, it was all about Jesus. Remember. What He is saying to them is this. This is the quote. Hey, go back. Remember. Remember your paganism. Remember how lost you were. Remember how desperate and destitute you were? Remember what it was like to worship idols. Remember the immorality that you were involved in. Remember what happened when the gospel exploded and the power of God was seen everywhere in the midst of miracles. The preaching of the gospel came to your heart when you were given faith to believe and repentance, and your heart was turned around and literally replaced, and you were transformed. Remember the joy, the exhilaration, the satisfaction, the overwhelming peace. Remember those things. Remember those things so that you might desire that, so that you might say, oh, God, I've left that. I don't have that anymore. Remember the early days. It'd be as if a husband and wife had been married 40 years and, they have all kinds of issues and they just live together almost in a business arrangement. They've lost all passion, and they go to marriage counseling, and the counselor says, how did you first meet? And they begin to talk about how they first met, and where'd you go out on your first date? And they begin to recall that. They start to smile. Well, I remember, you took me out to McDonald's. We hardly had any money. You were still in high school. I was in high school. But I remember what I got to eat at McDonald's. I had a Big Mac, French fries, but a Diet Coke because I didn't want you to think that I was going to gain weight. And they said, tell me when you first started to fall in love with each other. Well, I remember when I first started falling in love. We had been dating each other about 3 months. And I remember I just couldn't wait to talk to him on the phone. Well, tell me about how you proposed. Oh, it was just so great. And I remember he got down on one knee, or with my wife, I whispered it in her ear. And tell me about the wedding day. Tell me about those early. And it stirs up the memory. They began to remember, we did at one time truly love each other. There's nothing wrong with maturing love. It's different than that first initial love, nothing wrong with maturing love, but it should always be, I love you with all my heart. First love is loving Jesus with all your heart. It's never forgetting that as much as you do this for the Lord and work for the Lord, it's loving Him. It's pouring out your heart to Him. It's being thankful to Him. It's being passionate about Him. It's wanting to share Him with others. It's wanting to be with Him, not just work for Him, but to be with Him in prayer, or to be with Him in scripture reading, or to be with Him in the assembly, to share your faith with others because you're just so excited about Jesus. Remember. Now, maybe you got saved at an early age and you don't remember this great lifestyle of sin, but what you do remember as a teenager is how He saved you from a lot of sins because you got saved at such an early age. Remember. Stir up your memory. And if you would do that today, what do you think? Have you left your first love? Have you left your first love? Then He tells them, repent. This is a necessary part of the gospel. The Bible tells us in Mark chapter 1 that Jesus went about preaching the kingdom, and His message was, repent and believe the gospel. You can't have faith without repentance, and you can't have real repentance without genuine saving faith. They're kind of like two sides of the same coin. The Apostle Paul says, God commands all men everywhere to repent. All men everywhere. Man there is not men in the sense of the male species, but men as in mankind, male and female. He commands all men everywhere. So everybody everywhere to repent. I mean, that's pretty all-inclusive, right? So you repent when you first believe the gospel to come into the kingdom. But I've shared this. The Christian experience is a lifestyle of repentance, of turning from sin, of turning to God, of acknowledging your sin, of confessing your sin. Repentance. I see this with Elijah on Mount Carmel. When he gathered all the people, and the Bible says in 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 30, he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. If that's not an act of repentance, the altar of the Lord was broken down. That place of devotion, consecration, repentance, worship, it was all broken down. They'd forgotten that. He repaired it. The idea of repentance, I'm putting it back. I'm going to do that again.
If you're going to go back, if you're going to get that love, if you're going to catch that fire, if you're going to stir it back up and just create this relationship of being madly in love with Jesus, it is going to take repentance. Mm. And for some reason, I don't know why this is, but for some reason, I feel like right now in our culture with especially, you know, I work with teenagers, with young adults a lot. That's my job here at the church, is for some reason, they don't like this word repentance.
Yeah.
And I think maybe it's because if you're going to repent, you have to openly admit that I've done something wrong.
Yeah. And, you know, the truth is that we've been told almost our whole lives, you can't do anything wrong.
Right. Exactly.
You're awesome.
Yeah, you're awesome.
Whatever you want to do, you can do it. You can be the best at it. Dream it and you can do it.
Yeah.
Well, that's not true. It's just not true. False. Cannot run a mile under 2 minutes.
Right.
It's like I can dream all I want, right?
Yeah. Anyway. Go ahead. But this idea of, man, if you're gonna come back to that first love, you have to bring repentance. And Pastor Tim's talking about that here in his message today. If you're gonna rebuild that altar, if you're gonna come back to a place of being madly in love with Jesus, if you're gonna restore this broken relationship, if you're gonna do that again, it has to start at a place of repentance. Mm. It has to start with a place of me saying, Lord, please forgive me. I was wrong. I strayed. I got busy. I let my job, my spouse, my kids, their sports, I let all of these things become more important than you. And Lord, I repent. Would you forgive me? And it has to start there.
There is ways, Pastor Aaron, I've realized, amidst the crazy busyness of life, to always be connecting with God.
Mm-hmm.
First thing you got to do is just prioritize going to church.
Yep.
Don't let too many things crowd that out.
Yep.
That's number one. Then the second thing I've learned, Pastor Aaron, is within the routine of my day, I have great opportunities and chances to connect with God.
Mm-hmm.
Anytime I'm driving around in my car.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
I can definitely take time to connect with God.
Yep.
I can take time to connect with God when I go to the gym.
Yep.
Through my headphones.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
I can find all these opportunities to connect with God.
Yeah.
I even find that when I'm sitting at one of my kids' practices. I mean, they can last for hours.
Yeah.
What am I doing during that time
on
the sidelines?
Right.
I can put in my AirPods.
Yeah.
And connect with God.
Come on.
I really can.
Yeah.
And I've found that there's these plenty of ways to do this. Mm-hmm. Plenty of ways. We just got to be intentional with it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I got more stuff that I want to say about that, but we're going to have to save it until tomorrow. We're wrapping this up today. Men, before we let you go, we want to encourage you so, so badly.
Come on, man.
You got to be at this men's conference coming up March 8th and 9th. I guarantee you it will change your life.
Yes.
This is going to be an incredible weekend. An incredible move of God is happening in this generation of men. You don't want to miss it.
Check this out.
Man Up 2024 is coming March 8th and 9th. Men, you were meant for more. Man Up Conference is brought to you by Cornerstone Church and features guest speaker Ross Shear, powerful worship, and a move of God for this generation of men. To buy tickets and find out more information, go to cornerstonehighland.com/men.
Thank you for listening to our show today. You can find more information at our website, cornerstonehighland.com. Subscribe to us on YouTube. Follow us on Instagram, Facebook. We'd love to see you at church one day. Please do not be a stranger.